Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me, my guest, back again for the second episode, Jake Loft. Welcome, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Yes, yeah, of the J-Loft Company.
J-Loft Company's own.
How long's J-Loft Company been going on now?
3 years.
Gosh.
Yeah, can you believe that? They say most small businesses close in like within 3 years, probably closer than more like 6 months. But yeah, I made it through that. I'm full-blown businessman now.
Yeah, I love it.
It's great, yeah.
And in St. Louis. But occasionally, you make your way to God's country, right?
Yeah.
And your grandparents, you were telling me something about you got into making wine.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that? Well, so how do you have time to make wine?
Oh, so in my retirement. Yeah, I'm over here. Last episode, I'm talking about going to baseball games at noon on Wednesdays. Yeah. I'm retired. I've made beer before. I thought that was kind of a fun like project too. But no, just my grandparents have a big farm and they have a ton of different fruit. And my grandma, she makes pies.
Like, what's your grandparents' name? Which ones?
My Clendenny's. So okay. Ron Clendenny and Melba Jean. They
Melba Jean.
Melba Jean Clendenny.
That's my mom's name.
You know, I knew that actually. Oh, did you? Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So do they live over in? What area? Pleasant Hill area?
Yeah, near Pleasant Hill.
Okay.
About 5 miles south of Pleasant Hill. They got a big piece of property, a lot of deer hunting and stuff. They have fruit trees and a big garden. So we've always had great pies and fresh vegetables and canned stuff. You should see the cellar. You should see all the pickled beets we have. but they're getting older, so they don't make it as many. We need to figure out different ways to go through some of this stuff. So I thought it would be fun to make wine out of the wild stuff. We got like miles of wild blackberries and these cherry trees that we've been making pies off of for years.
Miles?
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, they live on 300 acres.
Oh, okay.
And, and the whole ridge, like it's all bluffs and stuff. And so just like, you know, just as far as the eye can see, it's just wild blackberries. They've totally taken over the place.
Wow.
My grandma's 86 years old out there.
Who
picking
picks those?
My grandma does.
Your grandma does?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Ron's out there, drives her over there on the side by side. And then her and my grandpa's sister comes over and helps too. So it's like Ron and Madeline. Shout out Madeline. They're out there just picking blackberries. Yeah. And then so I just got a ton of them in the freezer. I had probably like,
I love blackberries.
You know, 30 gallon bags of them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Next time it's going to cost you a bag of blackberries. I love blackberries.
Dude, me too. Blackberry pie, blackberry preserves. I got it. Like, now we have blackberry wine. And,
and that's what you do. So what do? You like, put all these blackberries in a tub. You take off your shoes and socks, right? And you pound them with your feet.
I powdered them with a potato masher. Actually, mashed potatoes. Yeah. it's super cool. It's very primitive. Like anybody can do this. It's like
you pound them, and then what do you do with them?
So you gotta so the simplest thing to do next is you just put yeast and then let it wait, then let it sit
and put it in a jar.
Yeah, like a closed, sealed environment, so oxygen can't get in, and
it turns into wine.
Yeah, and so the yeast will eat up on the natural sugars of the fruit and turn into alcohol. And then with fruit wines like this, though, the reason to do it with grapes is because grapes have a lot more nutrients already in them for the yeast to eat on. So we do like fruit wines like this blackberry and cherry, and I'm making some peach as well. You got to throw a little bit of sugar. So you put some sugar water in there too. And then so the yeast eats up on that over the course of a few months. And then you put it in a bottle and drink it. I've had some last week.
Have you drank any of it yet?
Yeah. So okay. I've had a bottle of the blackberry. Needs to age a little bit more, which I knew. I knew that. But it's kind of a fun experiment to
see
it different times. Mm-hmm. So blackberry is moving. Should be done in a month or so probably. And the cherries are totally good to go. I'm actually going to go up to my grandparents this weekend, and we're going to drink a bottle of it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's fun. That's what I've been working on in my retirement.
Okay. So we got wine out of the way. Good. Now, next on the list. Hey, it looks like we're going back to the moon again. NASA, what's up with that?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Why is that? All of a sudden, we're going to the moon again. Back. Wow, I haven't went to since I was like a kid, you know, like in the 60s.
Yeah.
We went to the moon.
1969.
And then after that, after we went there, we got back, we were just like, eh. I don't think, there's not much there. It's not worth going back.
Right. You know, it's like... In this, I'm excited about it. I think it's totally cool. It's my whole childhood. We had the space shuttle, right?
Yeah.
That was fun, but that wasn't like going to the moon.
No,
the space station is a cool thing, but it's not like this.
People that say that when we went to the moon last time that they faked that. What do you?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was going to people have been asking me about that lately. Like, what do you think about the moon? Because I'm kind of a conspiracy guy. Yeah. I'm kind of a crazy guy. You know, I think...
We were really going to go to the moon this time.
Listen, we definitely... I don't think we could fake it this time. But I don't think we faked it last time.
I think
we went to the moon. I think maybe the footage, maybe, who knows. But, like, I believe that... But philosophically speaking, like, going to the moon, like, at that time... represented something so much bigger than what we were doing now. It was a new frontier. We were doing things because they were hard. You know, this is John Kennedy. He's like, we're going to the moon. We're going to do things not because they're easy, but because they're hard. Well, we're doing that again. I think that's like a spirit. Such a fundamental spirit of America that keeps us going. Like, we can bicker about little things like all the time that the news just like pits us against each other all the time. But one thing that we can all believe in is that we need to go out and expand. Like, this manifest destiny has moved from the West to space. And like, Trump believes in this. Trump does this. We have the Space Force. We've got all the support that government gives to private space contractors, you know, like Elon Musk's SpaceX and Bezos and Richard Branson. They, you know, they're all exploring, trying to do these new things, and like we support it because it's cool.
And he's, I think it's actually so much fun. With the military and what's going on in Iran and Venezuela, and he's like, okay, well, what do you guys really got? Let's see what you got.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, can you do this? It's like, can do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. You got it? All right, let's go. Hey, yeah.
Let's go to the moon. What do you say? Yeah, we're going to the moon now.
It's like, Elon's like, I've been ready for this for 20 years. Yeah. Finally. Yeah, Obama would never do this. it's so much fun.
Hey, another thing I wanted to ask you about is, do you think, who do you think is going to be the Democratic candidate? In 28
for president?
Yeah, what do you think?
Wow. So the Democratic bench is so strange. It's like, it just depends who, what brand of Democrat we're gonna see this time. Like, the Republican Party has mostly consolidated into like Trump stuff versus like Romney stuff, and like, it's either one or the other. Mm-hmm. The Democrats have like got like a new thing, a new division system going on. So, you know, I think J.B. Pritzker, If you look at it, non-California style Democrats, like, I think J.B. Pritzker has to be a higher up on the list. Pretty low bar between all of them. Like, I mean, you got like Gavin Newsom's like a Gotham villain that like totally out of touch and nobody likes. Yeah. and then you have a Kamala Harris. So this California stuff that the media thinks like people like, but like, I think Pritzker represents a brand of Democrat that is more like middle America, not really old school. Like, I would hate to say he's an old school Democrat because he totally isn't. He's a progressive, like communist, like lefty. But I think he has a real shot of moving things. Because you look at the Chicago Democrat like machine has like historically been like the Democrats. Now it's all moved. It's like the party has moved its operation to California or like Massachusetts. But like the core of like Democrats like historically has been Illinois. The Chicago machine, like, and the mafia, like, they fixed elections. Like, all that we know about evil politics was like Chicago Democrat machine.
Yeah.
So why would we think they're not in it this time?
Yeah.
You know?
Does Bailey, does he got a shot to beat Pritzker? Yeah. What do you think? Can it be done?
It can be done. It can be, you know, the popularity of J.B. Pritzker, like, astounds me, like, truly. Like, I don't think there's anything likable about the guy. He's like an elitist, like hotel, like magnet, like did that the thing. Remember he did the toilet thing where he like put his toilets and took his toilets out of his houses to beat the taxes or whatever. And now he's like a gambler too. You see, he's like lost like $20 million in gambling last year. So he's totally unlikable. Like there's that aspect. But if you want to be a Democrat statewide in Illinois, there's a couple ways to do it. It really relies on downstate Illinois turning out to vote.
Turning out.
In places that you wouldn't really expect Republicans to turn out. Like, there's plenty of energy among, like, the farming type of Republicans, but there's just, like, not enough of them to win an election like that way in Illinois. So what you got to do is you got to have places like – you got to have the secret Republicans that live in Springfield and Champaign and Jacksonville to get their neighbors to come out and vote and move the needle a couple percentage. That's really the only way you can win in Illinois. It can be done. You had a Republican governor recently. Who was that? Bruce Rauner?
Yeah, Bruce Rauner.
You know? And then you had a senator. Every now and then you get a Republican, like, shows up. But it is tough. But the years and years, though, like, Illinois used to be all Republican. Like, a long time. Like, many governors in a row, I think, were Republicans. And you produced Abraham Lincoln, so this can't be all that bad.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jake Loff with me from J. Loff Company. Did a lot of work in D.C. Now he works in St. Louis helping politicians get elected.
Helping politicians politic.
Yes, helping them. And he's kind of my inside guy. I like talking to Jake, get the inside info.
Yeah. You know what's actually one more thing. We're talking about governors. Do you want to give a quick shout out to my state, since I quit Illinois and I live in Missouri.
Yeah.
We're going to eliminate our state income tax this year.
Oh, man.
That's great. It's really cool stuff.
How about property taxes? You're going to eliminate that too?
We're working on that. So, you know, the big issue over on the other side of the river is data centers. And a lot of cities in Missouri trying to get them, right? And people are concerned with that lowering the value of their property being near a data center.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a double-edged sword there, because
what's a data center look like?
A big old square warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we got a lot of those.
You guys do, actually. You guys are down here by Wood River,
255.
Yeah. So that's what those warehouses that you just, if they were
people,
imagine if they were computers.
Okay.
That'd be the same, though.
Yeah.
They would look exactly the same. Yeah.
And, not as many trailer trucks.
Less trailers, more more fans. And, you know, so in exchange for that, the government is possibly offering a program to, they're filing legislation. It's not a government program. But the legislators in Missouri are doing something about the, like, unpopularity of the data center and saying, in exchange for this, we might eliminate your personal property tax in exchange for that. Because the property in the data center is so valuable and taxable. Like, these individual cities will make so much money from the personal property tax of the data center alone, the people don't need to pay it. Now, but you don't have this issue in Illinois. You don't have personal property
tax. Yeah, I was going to say, you're saying personal property tax. We don't have that, which is nice. That's the one tax we don't have now.
It's fairly insignificant, like, the amount. I don't like paying it.
So what do you have to do? You list what? The car that you own?
Yeah, trailers, cars, boats, stuff that you would like.
How about, you know, like your suits in the closet? You got to list them?
No.
No.
I think if you have enough jewelry, maybe.
Oh, jewelry?
Possibly. I'm not sure what the cutoff is.
Any paintings are worth a lot of money, things like that?
Yeah, stuff like that.
So if you have $100,000 worth of stuff, okay, how much tax do they charge you?
So let's say if it was a car, so the way they calculate that is they take a third of the appraised value of the car. So if it was a $100,000 car, it'd be a third of that, would be $33,000.
Yeah.
And then you pay a certain percentage off of that. So it's like, you know, I don't know what, 10% or so.
And you got to pay that every year.
To get the license. Yeah. So like my car, like it costs, like personal property taxes, like $500 a year.
Yeah. But your property tax is pretty low.
Yeah, the property taxes in Illinois are low.
In Missouri are low.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, the property taxes in Missouri are fairly low. Most people gripe about personal property tax. Different in Illinois.
So do you think a Missourian pays less in tax than in Illinois?
Definitely. And it has entirely to do with property taxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much do you think they pay less? Like, let's say somebody's paying, if they're paying $10,000 in Illinois, what are they paying in Missouri?
Oh, probably 25% of that.
$2,500
Yeah.
Wow. How come Missouri can do it so well over there? How can they run their state so much cheaper?
Oh, it's so weird. Illinois? It's a tough equation. It has to do with honesty, I'd say, mostly honesty in government.
Yeah, I know it is.
Mainly. Yeah. The Illinois problem is that they lied and lied for years and years, and now they've dug themselves into a very deep hole, and they have a very expensive city to run, and they aren't running it very well. You know, like when it comes looking at Missouri, we have a balanced budget amendment in Missouri, too. Like the Missouri Constitution requires it. So like if the governor doesn't do it, they'll like prosecute him.
Huh.
Yeah.
So he's got to do it.
So we have to do it. So huh. we don't run these huge holes where we need to like come up with some windfall later to like build it back up. That's why you don't see, there's not like cops everywhere. You know, the state police in Illinois are like all over the place.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so Missouri just has a different set of people though. It's not that like we have a perfect system, but we don't have a giant like city to run. That's like destroying all value of property and money.
Well, speaking of cities, how about Minnesota? What's going on with that?
What is going on in Minnesota?
I mean,
you know, what's funny is
are people vacationing in Minnesota? I mean, it's all that attention. You know, let's go to Minnesota. Let's check out.
Yeah,
see what's
going
on there.
Let's do little riot tourism. Yeah. Oh, man, what is going on in Minnesota? It's like one of my clients sent me my 1099 form. He's like, pay your taxes. And I was like, I'm not paying my taxes until we figure out what the hell is going on in Minnesota. like 3 months ago. Yeah. And so, you look at ICE, like everybody's like, that is a big immigration emergency, or like maybe it's a fraud emergency if you look at it from the other direction. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but emergencies going on in Florida,
yeah.
I mean, Minnesota. And because, like, you know, they were kind of getting into some hot water with the Somali daycare fraud, which was kind of a cover up for something else. Like, I think, like, before that, the Walls hired. Oh yeah, there was that assassination. Remember, there was a political assassination.
Yeah.
So this guy that worked for Tim Walls went crazy and killed the Speaker of the House.
Right.
Yeah. So there was that. They were kind of getting over
some
that
stuff going on.
So people were starting to look further into that. Then they uncovered the Somali daycare thing, and then. To cover up for that, they like let out all the illegal immigrants, which caused ICE. No, ICE was there. ICE was in Minnesota initially to figure out the Somali daycare problem.
Okay.
And then there was a big snowstorm where everybody was off work. And so they convinced everybody to go out and protest ICE. And then they just all got, and then everything went off the rails from there. And it's so layered. There's just so many layers in Minnesota. It's like, where was the issue here? And then Trump gets tired of all the bad news. And so he like moves Kristi Noem out of the job and brings in Tom Homan. And then all of a sudden, Tim Walls is going out there talking about how good of a job Tim Homan is doing.
Yeah.
Tom Homan. And so, you know, it was almost like the whole thing was like a hit job just to get Kristi Noem out of there because she was looking too far into something in Minnesota. I don't know. And you never hear about her anymore. Now it's just totally evaporated from the news. Yeah. When's the last time you heard about Minnesota? The fraud's gone. Immigrants are gone. Like, what's happening?
Well, we are in a shutdown.
Well, they used the shutdown to try to stop ICE. Remember that? That's why That's why they shut it down.
Yeah.
No, we're shut down. Yeah.
And Congress is on vacation.
Yeah, Congress is on vacation. I did see a video of a congressman actually doing something good with his vacation time. He was running the clock at a basketball game. His son.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's perfect. At least he's out there helping the community. He's doing a lot better job there than he was in Congress, I'm sure. we're shut down. The TSA lines are long. ICE is doing the TSA.
Are these congressmen, are they worth their weight Are they doing anything?
No. There's only like four or five of them that are actually doing anything. And you know what actually really upset me even more is that during this, so the Delta Airlines has shut down what they call the Congressional Ticket Desk.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard of before. This is like the most elitist, out of touch like program I've ever heard in my life. Delta has got like special agents for like members of Congress to like talk to get their tickets booked, or like they have a special like line they get to go in.
Because they're in a hurry. They got to get places. Right. They got to get back home.
They got to get back to their next fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And these people. So I'm glad if we can eliminate that for the rest of that, that could be a good reform. No, sorry you're waiting longer than the rest of us.
That's right.
Yeah. But I haven't seen any of these lines. Like the media's making a big deal about the TSA lines. I've flown four or five times since that started, and I've
nothing in St. Louis.
No, nothing really. But who's flying out of St. Louis?
Yeah, where are you flying out of?
Well, I am, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm one of few. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm actually ready to switch over to Mid-America Airport. You've used that one?
I have used it. Yeah. I mean, they're limited on where they go.
Well, we need to bring it. We need to increase their service. I took. I flew on their I think it was their second ever flight direct to Gulf Shores last year. It was on Allegiant.
Yeah.
It was totally cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love flying that if I can. You know, we used to go to Savannah, Georgia to see my niece.
Oh,
you know,
they go there?
Yeah.
They used to. They go to these vacation places.
They go a lot of Florida spots.
Destin. And
yeah. So flying.
What else you got? What else? Let me interview you.
Well, we're about out of time. So make it quick. Ask me anything.
Okay. So
I can't
say. Okay. So listeners, whenever I was in fifth grade, Chris was my basketball coach at St. Francis Holy Ghost Elementary. That was a great time. We've been friends ever since then. When you were coaching basketball,
fifth and sixth grade
basketball
at St. Francis.
St. Francis.
Yes.
Man, what a time.
You got to practice in the gym.
Yeah, you know, I remember the gym. Do they still have that? It's like the plastic floors.
I mean, that was
the tiles.
That was like going back in the 60s or something.
Really? Know? Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I remember they opened the new gym at Holy Ghost whenever I was in like.
Oh, that's high school. That's nice.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost gym. But usually all we had was that little gym at St. Francis for a long time.
Yeah, I remember people coming and play.
We had games in there.
Yeah.
I remember the
locker room was, there was the two, the one of them was in the girls' bathroom and the other one was like in the side room of the gym is where they kept all the tables. Yeah. And, we played St. John's. Remember St. John's would come in? Carrollton. They were always so good. And just crush us every time.
I'd be looking up, hey, you're up six. One game I remember, they were beating us like 60-2.
I was at that game. Yeah, I remember that was like my first ever basketball game ever. That was like, I think it might have been an away game too. I think we were there.
I had asked now. So coach, you are religious, right? I mean, you enjoy beating these kids down like this? I'm like, oh my god!
Builds character.
Builds character.
No, I think about that game all the time. Actually, like if I'm ever thinking
that
about,
gives you hope.
Yeah, I'm like, it could be worse. Yeah, if I'm ever thinking of youth basketball, which doesn't come up a lot, but I do remember that game.
Yes.
Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days.
Look at us now. Now we're radio, kingpin radio.
That's right. Jake, we've run out of time. So we're going to have to end this.
Well, until next time.
Until next time. But thanks for coming in. I always enjoy it. It's been a pleasure. So
thank you for having me.
Yes.